Good morning and welcome to the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission for Thursday, November 15th, 2008, on a snowy morning here in Washington. Why we delayed the start of the meeting a little bit. So the first item on the agenda is the correction and approval of minutes. Madam Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move approval of the minutes for the meeting of October 25th, 2018, as set forth in agenda document number 18-47-A.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is draft advisory opinion 2018-15, a request from Senator Ron Wyden. The deadline for this request is December 3rd. My understanding is my colleague, Commissioner Walther, would like a little bit more time to think about this request and ask some questions of the senator's office. Is that
correct? Yeah, yes. In fact, it'd be nice if we came back, the request was actually being answered, you know, in person, but if not, then, of course, by email or whatever, it's fine.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. So, Council, Ms. Wallstriker, with that in mind, since the deadline is December 3rd and our next public meeting is after that, would you be willing to ask the senator if he would be willing to grant an extension?
Sure, we can ask him that.
Okay. And then we can discuss which open meeting we would like to discuss. If his office would care to join us in an open meeting, that'd be great. If not, please let Commissioner Walther knows so that he might email some questions through council's office to the senator's office.
Sure, happy to.
Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments on that advisory opinion request? Okay, so we will discuss it at the next open meeting, unless we don't get an extension. The next item on the agenda is also being held over. OSEA Network, LLC, a document was submitted on the public record, and following that, the requester asked for additional time to consider the document, and they've requested to discuss that as well on the next open meeting in December. So that brings us to the next item on the agenda, Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on Friends of Eric Paulson, A17-06.
Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning. Thank you.
Commissioners.
Thank you.
For you is the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on Friends of Eric Paulson. The memorandum contains one recommendation pertaining to our receipt of contributions in excess of the limit finding. Thank you. We're here to answer any questions you may have on the memorandum.
Thank you. Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this really comes down to the issue of letters, whether or not reattribution, redesignation letters were sent. And there is some... The committee acknowledges that they didn't have copies of the letters, but they did provide a statement indicating that that these letters were sent. I believe the copy of the letter that I had was a little bit faded, so one of my staff did their best to kind of type it up, and so some of the salient portions of that letter were: I was responsible for sending reallocation, redesignation letters on behalf of the committee for the time period covering the dates of contributions on the attached spreadsheet. After reviewing the attached spreadsheet and my own records, I can state with great certainty that I sent redesignation or reattribution letters to all of the individuals identified on the spreadsheet. I recognize each of the names listed on the attached spreadsheet as the names of individuals to whom I sent letters during the 2015-2016 cycle. If the reallocation or redesignation letters sent to those individuals are not contained in the record, I believe it is because they were among letters I inadvertently saved over when drafting new letters to be sent over to be sent to other contributors. If necessary, I'd be willing to assert the foregoing information in a sworn statement to the FEC. Do we have other evidence that letters were sent? When I look in the report, there were presumptive letters that were sent with respect to, is it $50,600 worth of excessive contributions?
That's correct, yes. We did a review where we reviewed 100% of certain portion of the letters, or not the letters, the contributions, and a sample for the rest. So our projection is, I think, $185,000 for the total finding. Mm-hmm. $31,000 of that were contributions that we reviewed 100%, and then the remaining, I believe, $15,000 to $20,000 resulted in a projection to $153,000.
Okay. So I know in other matters we have, and this has been an issue that obviously we've addressed in a number of audits and a number of MERS over the years, and knowing the best way to handle them has sometimes been a little bit sticky. I know that there have been other situations and other audits where receiving some sort of a statement from someone who was in position to have been sending these out, and some other evidence indicating that these letters were sent out. Is there evidence that they did receive refunds for excessives?
Evidence for these contributors?
Did the committee send out refunds at all during this during the audited?
Not refunds. The committee sent out new letters.
Okay.
And they were all dated January 4th of 2018.
Okay. Is there contention that we sent these out before, but out of an abundance of caution, or just, 224 letters, I believe, were at issue, that the ones that you mentioned were dated on January 4th, 2018?
That's correct.
Okay. Is it the committee's contention that we sent out these letters, but in order to, you know, try to address this fully, we're going to send them out again?
Yes, that's okay. What the treasurer stated in one of his emails, or in a response, actually.
And they provided copies of those letters?
Yes.
Okay. So, like I mentioned before, I know that there have been other matters where a statement and some other indication, you know, and perhaps some other corroborating evidence that letters were sent out, even if they weren't maintained in accordance with the regulations, that we would accept that without making a finding. I just wanted to get audits thinking about why the letter is not deemed to be sufficient or consistent with what we've done in other audits.
Well, from an auditor's perspective, I'm just there to find if they have the letters or not, the timely dated letters. So in this case, they did submit the letter from the committee representative, Ms. Hellier, and we took that into consideration, and we mentioned it in the interim audit report. And the committee also provided untimely letters, so we considered the contributions untimely resolved. And I think that maybe the committee heard resolved and thought that everything was okay. It wouldn't appear in a report, but we were clear that everything was untimely at this point.
Okay. So at this point, it probably really is in the hands of the commission to determine how best to or what weight to give to the information that we have before us. My thought is the statement, the earlier presumptive letters that were sent out combined with the later ones that were sent out, to me, I think probably satisfies me sufficiently that that while they may have had an issue, as they say here, the employee may have written over the electronic copies of the letters that were sent out, I think for purposes of this audit, I think that satisfies me in terms of not finding an excessive contribution finding. I mean, if there were a finding that they didn't comply with records, you know, the maintaining of records, or kind of, I think as they suggest, I'm persuaded by what they suggest, that this be more of a technical records retention issue. If we wanted to recast the finding in that form, I could be persuaded. But I think that in light of the information that they've provided, that I'm not comfortable finding that they received, you know, over $150,000 in excessive contributions.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you. So why isn't there a records finding in here? I mean, it seems sort of on its face like they don't have the records.
Well, in this case, they weren't required to keep a record. If, like when I went into it, I was just looking to see if it was an excessive contribution or not, and not having a reattribution or redesignation letter, since they're not required to have that, the next step is, or the next thing is it's an excessive contribution.
Do we have, when you said they had submitted late letters, does that mean late as in after you started the audit?
Yeah, they were right before the response was due to the exit conference. So I believe they were in response to the audit.
So when you're using the sampling method, do you have identified contributions that you can't match up with, that they have not been able to provide any kind of letter for?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, any timely letter. And these are the errors we present to the committees. And if the committees are able to show that the letters weren't sent timely, these are forever removed from any kind of error list. However, if the committees are willing only to come back and show us untimely letters, this is how we write the finding.
And were there any responses to, did they submit any responses to the untimely letters?
Not from the contributors, no.
Well, I think this is a close call. I hear what my colleagues are saying, but we don't have the documentation that we would need to establish that the excessives were cured. In the future, I would suggest that if somebody offers an affidavit, I personally would be more persuaded by an affidavit, by a sworn affidavit, than by just a letter. I think I understand the person offered to submit an affidavit, and, you know, I give that a little bit of weight, but sometimes people don't follow through. You know, I can't give it the same weight as if I had an actual affidavit in front of me, because sometimes people say they're going to do something, they say they're going to amend something, then they don't amend it, and, you know, without any casting any aspersions on anybody, it just, you know, I don't have anything under oath, so that makes it a little bit harder for me. Like I said, I think it's a close call, but I think I will support the recommendation.
Could I just, Madam Chair, if I may, just wanted to have one clarification about, I'm on page 7 of the draft, under the heading Interim Audit Report and Audit Division Recommendation, just in the second paragraph. It says, in response to the exit conference, the treasurer submitted presumptive reattribution redesignation letters that were sent to all the contributors identified by the audit staff. Many timely presumptive letters were also submitted in response to the exit conference. The excessive contributions resolved by these letters are not included in the amounts presented in this report. So they did present some timely reattribution and redesignation letters. So it's not like we had no evidence of any letters of any sort that were sent out by the committee during this audit period.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. So
yes, I just want to say we did have plenty of documentation. We had plenty of timely letters.
Okay.
And so during the field work, we had, I think it was, I don't know, 10 zip files, and they were, by month they were labeled reattribution or redesignation letters. And at the end of field work, we were missing, I think, 3 zip files, it turned out to be, and they gave it back to us. So at the end of field work at our initial exit conference when we left, we had a much larger finding, and then they were able to locate these 3 extra files and send them to us.
Okay.
And they were filled with timely letters. And at the end of the day, we still had 19 contributions with no letters.
Okay.
And that's what resulted in the provision of the January 4th, 2018 untimely reattribution and redesignation letters.
Okay, I appreciate that clarification. So I think I'm going to stick with my position. I think, again, the combination of the statement with evidence that they had been, it looks like there was a system in place for sending out these letters. We don't have all of the letters for the reasons they stated. I think that I can understand my colleague you know, that this can be a bit of a close call. I think that for me, that gives me some satisfaction that they did have this in place, that those letters were more likely than not to have been sent, even if they had some snafu that caused them to lose some of the copies of those letters. So I will support moving that into additional issues.
Thank you, and I'll support you on that for the same reason. Thank you.
I'm trying to recall. That's the only finding. Do we have we produced a report where it's just an additional issue?
I don't think so.
That's
a good question.
Yes, additional to what?
That's right. It is. It's
right.
Yeah, Ryan.
We will research that and get back with you.
Okay. I'm not sure what happens next.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I suppose it would be in order for me to move approval of the recommendation. Okay, so I will do so. With respect to the Audit Division Recommendation Memorandum on Friends of Eric Paulson, A17-06, I move approval of the recommendation and the memo.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
No. The motion fails by a vote of 2-2, the Vice Chair and Commissioner Walther voting in favor, and Commissioner Peterson and I voting against. Mr. Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know whether I should turn to our general counsel or to Ms. Carmona. Do I need to make a further motion? I think the fact that it failed would mean that it would just go automatically to the additional issue. So, okay.
That's correct. Under the directive, it automatically does so.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
All righty. Any other questions or comments? No? All righty. Ms. Orak, are there any management or administrative matters we should discuss today?
There are none. Thank you.
Thank you. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.